Good evening. Welcome to Town by Nine, where nine people have up to 10 minutes each to tell a true story from their life on a theme. And our theme tonight is All I Want for Christmas. My name is Paul Doran. You're very welcome. Delighted to see you. Full house. Oh, my goodness. What a joy. And I suppose it's a generational thing. But if you see the theme All I Want for Christmas and you think Mariah Carey, fine. If you see All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth, you're probably more my generation. Funny enough, Mariah doesn't feature in any of our stories tonight, nor do teeth. I know, it's great news. So up until 4:30 this afternoon, when I was waiting for the bus on the Armour Road, God, this town would drive you bananas, I had nine stories for you. And then somebody messaged me at 4:30 and said, oh, I've got friends coming to stay, and I thought it was tomorrow, and blah, 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 blah. So now I've got eight and a little bit stories for you. So here's the little bit story, and I'm telling you it because I need to get this coat off or I'm going to explode with the heat. Some of you will know this. The last 2 years have been the worst period of my life, without question. And it's been a struggle. And there are people here who, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here. And also, 10 by 9 has helped a great deal, giving me something to look forward to every month. And I'm an intensely private person, and I've explained this. So I don't understand this. So I don't talk about myself very much, but here I am in front of, 200 people, and I'm telling you the deepest, darkest, and most painful secret of my life. And so it makes Christmas very difficult, and we'll hear stories about that tonight as well. But about 2 months ago, I had a dream, and I don't believe dreams are anything other than wish fulfillment or your subconscious talking to your consciousness. But in this dream, I was with the person who has caused me so much distress. And this person had bought me a beautiful jacket, very expensive, lovely colors, not like Joseph in his amazing Technicolor dream coat, nothing naff like that. It was very beautiful, very expensive looking. And he was urging me to get a shirt to go with it. Now, my normal shirt color would be blue. Brings out my eyes, apparently. And I was thinking, yeah, I'll buy a blue shirt. This is all in the dream. And then I had this, blinding notion. And it just came to me in the dream. No, you need a gold shirt. You need a shirt that is gold. Not yellow, not kind of goldy, but metallic-y gold looking. Now, I went to my therapist because that's where I am. 60-odd sessions later. And probably, God knows, another 100 to come. But she's great. And she said, and I'm not sure if she was slightly tongue-in-cheek, but I said, what do you think that means? And she said, maybe your subconscious is saying it's your time to shine. So that is a true story. As you can see, here's the proof. So dreams can come true. Who'd have thought it? It's the most horrible material I have ever worn. Oh my goodness. You're welcome to come and stroke it later. We've got our first first-timer. We have two first-timers and one who's telling first time in the black box. He was originally told in East Belfast. So please, a big warm welcome to Lorraine Thompson.
It's Christmas 2023. My sister Maureen has just lifted the present I have carefully wrapped for her. I wait with anticipation to see her reaction. As they say, the gift is in the giving. She opens the present and she's very happy with the tin whistle I have bought her. She's always wanted to play tin whistle, but never learned. But there is an audible groan when she sees the accompanying gift, because It's the ninth time she has received it. Let me explain. 9 years ago, my Auntie Joan bought my two sisters, Maureen and Dorothy, and me, the same Christmas present. I don't want to seem ungrateful, but for Christmas 2015, my aunt bought each of us a purse. It was the exact same purse for all three of us. And let's just say, her taste was not the same as ours. None of us were exactly enamoured by this dark brown, half furry, half suede, quite large beast of a purse. Think love child of Zippy and Bungle from Rainbow. Thankfully, my aunt wasn't there to see our reaction when we opened our presents. My sister Maureen said, "Yuck, that's going straight to the charity shop." I agreed that I couldn't see me using mine either. As soon as Christmas was over, Maureen sent her purse to the charity shop, and that was that. Or was it? When Christmas 2016 came around, we met on Christmas night, as always, to exchange our presents. My sister found a present on her pile with just Maureen written on it, no from. So intrigued about who had given her the mystery gift, she began to open it. I watched in anticipation to see her reaction. Her face said it all, and I won't repeat what she said when the same, let's face it, ugly purse reappeared. I had wrapped my purse from the year before, round two. She was not amused. So I was careful to make sure I stole back the purse to be able to re-gift it the following year. The same thing happened at Christmas 2017, but I wasn't quick enough to steal back the purse. I thought, ah, well, that's the end of the ugly purse. But my younger sister then got in the act and informed me she still had hers. So for Christmas 2018, I had Dorothy's purse wrapped up to give to Maureen, who now thought we had a never-ending supply. She said, but I still have the one from last year in my bedroom. So where has this one come from? With that knowledge, I was able to get one of her daughters to find that purse. And we then had two purses to wrap the next year. And so each Christmas, my sister gets the same purse or purses wrapped up in various guises. For Christmas 2020, the purse was wrapped in a very large cardboard box and exchanged at the boot of her car while we were socially distancing. Even COVID couldn't prevent the reappearance of the ugly purse. I now have her eldest granddaughter primed to steal back the purses as soon as she can, so that we can give it to her nanny the following Christmas. And yes, Maureen is getting a little fed up with the yearly giving of the purse, but honestly, I think it's an addiction. I can't give it up. All this time, my Auntie Joan never knew the pleasure we had experienced from the purses she had given us in 2015. Sadly, she died earlier this year. My Auntie Joan and Uncle Rodney had no children. She was an only child married to my dad's only sibling, and so we are their only family relations. I have to admit, I didn't see my aunt and uncle that much growing up or in my adult life. It was Christmas and Easter when we would get together with them, so I guess we weren't that close. But since my aunt's death, I have been supporting my Uncle Rodney, helping him with some of the things that some 86-year-olds, or anyone for that matter, find difficult, especially following the death of a spouse after 59 years of marriage. There are things which my aunt did, like using the washing machine or microwave. The microwave has been a revelation to my uncle. Having been an accountant all his working life, and someone who continued doing accounts until fairly recently, my uncle is a very clever, organised person, well equipped to deal with finances, but he does find using the internet and having to do things online difficult. I've helped him with online tasks like changing his credit card from their joint names into just his, or getting him a new debit card or paying bills. This resulted in him saying, "Do you know what? In some ways, you're better than a wife." I have to confess, while the circumstances have not been good, I am enjoying getting to know my uncle. I have long chats about the past, and through his reminiscing about my Auntie Joan, I'm learning more and more about them, my granny and granda, and my dad, through the eyes of my uncle. And he is interested in my life, what my children are getting up to, and what I am working at. I am growing to love my uncle deeply. He said to me recently, "I wonder why I didn't get to know you sooner, Lorraine. I really enjoy your company. You lift my spirits, and I wish we had been friends sooner. I think I've missed a treat." And I said, "Well, me too, Uncle Rodney. But I guess years ago, you were busy being an accountant and playing golf, and I was knee deep in nappies and being a mum. But the important thing is we're here for each other now." He replied, "Well, that's true. And I'm thankful we have this time together." I'll keep supporting my uncle and being his friend. I'm slowly helping him clear some things from the house, dividing up jewellery that belonged to my aunt, bringing books to charity shops, and sorting out clothes. I was going through some of Auntie Joan's clothes a few weeks ago, and guess what I found? Yes. Another dark brown, half furry, half suede, beast of a purse. So I have prepared this for next week. The last will and testament of Joan McCormick. I leave this purse to my precious niece, Maureen Mitchell. I hope you treasure it and use it well. Three purses. I can't wait till Christmas.
Oh, that's why I love Town by Nine. Lorraine, we have waited. Why have we had to wait so long for your first story? That was fantastic. Brilliant. Thank you so much. Just as a little surprise for 10 of you anyway, check onto your chair because there are 10 Christmas cards. And in each Christmas card, well, with a lovely message from Town by Nine, obviously, in each of the Christmas cards, there is a scratch card. So you could be sitting on £1 million. Just to let you know, especially if you're new to 10 by 9, there is a 10 by 9 website, 10by9.com. And on the website, we have lots of information about 10 by 9, what it does, and where there are other 10 by 9s, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm kind of updating the website. I am no IT person, so it's kind of a very slow and very simple process, but I'm trying to kind of bring it up to date. So hopefully get that really done over Christmas. But go check out the website, and somebody was asking how to submit a story, and there is a segment section on the website called Submissions, and it will literally talk you through, it will guide you through how to submit a story, and it is very simple. We love stories, and people don't always send a full story. They'll just send a sentence and say, "Do you think I should keep at this?" And I will always say, "Of course, yes. Give me the full thing." Somebody emailed me today and said, "Do I have to submit the whole story to you?" I said, "Yes, you do. Yes." Even people who've been coming to 10 by 9 and telling stories and are trust them completely, send in their stories. And it's not just, well, we are in case of legal difficulties, and identifying people who maybe wouldn't want to be identified, things like that. But more importantly, from my point of view, is getting the story in the right place for the evening, because that's really important. And I do think about that a lot. And sometimes a story comes in and I go, that's story six. So you just know, because it's just about structuring the evening. So we go entertained as much as possible. So apart from the website, on the website, there's a podcast. And last Sunday, podcast 292 was dropped, as the young people say. So there are, yes, 292. Apparently, that is way more than most podcasts ever achieve. So I'm delighted with that. Can't wait to get to 300. So There are hundreds. There must be 800 or 900 stories on there. Most of them told here at the Black Box, but some told at Port Stewart or Derry or one or two from overseas. But it's mostly Black Box stories, and they are brilliant, and they cover every aspect of life, just from the ridiculous to the heartbreaking and everything in between. So if you're bored over the festive season, please go and check them out. You can also subscribe on the usual places, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, etc. All those usual places, wherever you get your podcasts. Also, if any of you who enjoy the podcast would care to leave a review, it's really, really helpful because it helps to get us noticed, and then you might get a little bit more of a promotion by the podcast platforms. So if you could, a kindly review, please, that would be really appreciated. Okay, we're also, of course, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and as of last Tuesday or Monday, Blue Sky. Well, I wouldn't be that enthusiastic about it. It's pretty much very similar to Twitter, but not quite as dark and evil. We're always looking for new storytellers, of course. And if you go on the website, actually, there are themes for January. The dates for next year, they're all in there, except for May. Still negotiating on May. But all the dates right up to Christmas of next year, they're all there. So you can plan your year. And there are actually a couple of themes already up there. So if you want to think ahead, and January the 15th is our next 10 by 9. So it's not too far away. So get writing over Christmas. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. I think that's enough for me. I am beginning to feel very warm. I feel a bit like a turkey in the oven on Christmas Day. Oh, my goodness. Oh. So anyway, let's kick off. Our next story of the evening, it's our first time, so please, a big warm welcome for Lisa Graham.
It was all my fault, really. Somehow, I had failed miserably to put both of my sons going into the same line of work as myself, despite trying my best to do so. I mean, had they not noticed the stress? The exhaustion, the long hours, the hassle, to say nothing of never having time in a whole day to even go to the loo or glance at a phone. Yeah, I'm sure you've guessed by now what I do for a living. I'm a teacher. And not only did they both become teachers, but Patrick, the eldest, even married one as well. He met Danielle in their first job in a tough academy in South London in 2017. He a music teacher, she a scientist. I think they did find the work quite rewarding at first, but by the time they got to the end of their second September, the shine had definitely worn off and they were struggling big time. And so this is where the second thing that was my fault comes in. It was a Sunday afternoon and we were having what should have been a lovely Sunday lunch in a nice restaurant, except it wasn't. The two of them were under so much pressure, reports, data sheets, challenging kids, observations, appraisals. They could hardly raise a smile. And the worst of it is, Mum, we have barely 20 quid between us at the end of each month. We're fed up. We're coming out of teaching. Good idea, I hear you say. Absolutely, plenty of other jobs out there. Just do something else, of course. This, obviously, is what you think I would have said. But no, I didn't. This is what I said. Oh, really, love? What a shame for the teaching profession to lose you both, all that talent. Would you not think of giving it one more try? Maybe looking at the international scene. You might like it. So guess what? They did like it. And before you could say, where's my passport? They were off to two new jobs in a cool British international school in Bangkok. How lovely. It was all wonderful. We'll see each other twice a year, we promised. It won't be so bad. 6 months to wait each time. See you next Easter, Mum. That was summer 2019. Well, I can hear you're doing the calculations. Easter 2020 was never going to happen, was it? COVID came instead, and we all went into that whole weird world that now seems so long ago. Lockdown one, working from home, exercise permitted for 1 hour each day, one visit to the shop, no further than 1 kilometre, no sitting down in a park bench, no going anywhere without your mask. That was March 2020. Kind of surreal. Then it was Christmas 2020, and we weren't allowed to gather or bring our families home. We all had Christmas on Zoom, trying our best to have cheery quizzes and wear our paper hats. We managed as best we could, until January the 6th when lockdown 2 began, working from home. And so it went on until, to be honest, I can't remember when we were finally allowed out again, under strict conditions like no parties, unless you were Boris Johnson or a Westminster MP, of course. And do you remember all that testing we had to do? Those wee boxes where you had to test yourself every day and register your negative result. At last, the world began tentatively to reopen, and travel started to look extremely difficult but possible. It was now December 2021, and I knew exactly what I wanted for Christmas. I hadn't seen my Patrick and Danielle since that summer 2019, 2.5 years before. All I wanted for Christmas was them. It was unbelievably complicated to organise travel to Thailand that December. Visas, health insurance, medical certificates, proof of vaccinations, lots more, all had to be submitted onto a thing called the Thailand Pass. Then, of course, there were all the tests to be done at the last minute. Not the wee lateral flow tests from the boxes in the cupboard. Special tests that you had to do at a special centre. I think they were called PCR or something. You had to book them, pay £70, and then queue up after work all the way down the street to have them done 24 hours before flying. You're probably, some of you, remembering all of this. I sat up all night waiting for the results to finally ping in at 5:30 in the morning, just in time to get up for work. By the time we were at last in the queue for our flight that evening, clutching our Thailand passes, I was beside myself with stress, as I had been for the prior 6 weeks. At the same time, there was relief. There I was, on my way to spend Christmas with my lovely boy and his lovely wife, 2.5 years older than when I'd last seen them. Phil, my partner, and I arrived in Bangkok. More testing, and then whisked away in a taxi to our destination, the specified hotel where we must stay for the first 7 days of our trip, as outlined by the Thai authorities. Patrick and Dan's were there to meet us, and what an amazing moment that was. Probably one of the best moments of my life. We had made it, and our gorgeous Thai Christmas was stretching out in front of us. Or was it? The next morning, as I got up to make a cup of tea and sit on the balcony surveying the beautiful turquoise sea, a text message popped onto my phone. It was the reception of the hotel, reminding us that we needed to do yet another COVID test, a lateral flow one that they'd given us when we arrived. To be honest, I was by then quite blasé. Ripped open the packet, shoved the cotton bud down my throat, swirled the liquid round in the wee pipette without thinking too much, until I saw the result. 2 black lines in the wee window. Phil, I've done the COVID test thing and it's bloody well positive. What? You're joking. You better do yours too. He did. Another 2 black lines. Shit. We knew what this meant. I mean, we were lucky in that we were not ill at all. We had no symptoms whatsoever, but we were in Thailand. And a positive test meant being taken away to a hospital hotel, imprisoned in a room for 10 to 15 days, which, by the way, we had to pay for at the cost of £1,500 each. Our entire Christmas trip would be spent in an isolated hotel room, and we would emerge just in time for our Boxing Day flight back to London. Fuck. Phil and I fell out at this point for about 4 hours. He's at the back of the room, so I have to be careful about what I say now. He really thought we could get out of this somehow. I knew we couldn't, and I didn't fancy spending 10 years in a Thai prison because we'd tried to. So, sure enough, we were locked into the Par Hotel in a room which got no sun whatsoever. There was a window in the corridor outside our room where the sun shone in for a couple of hours each day, and I would creep out and just get my feet into the little golden square of warmth when I dared. No one came near us except to deliver meals outside the door. Often these came an hour earlier than the allotted time, so they were cold and congealed by the time we collected them. So we lost some weight, silver lining. We dealt with putting the days in different ways. Phil slept most of them away. I had about 10 good books on my Kindle, thank God, and I set about reading each one. Our balcony looked out over a golf course, so we spent the afternoons watching golfers, commenting on the shots, betting on the income, on the outcomes. And after Patrick and Danielle were allowed out of their house, they had to isolate for 7 days because they'd been with us. They were able to find a wee spot on the far side of the course and wave to us while talking on the phone. All I had wanted for Christmas was to be with them. This wasn't quite what I had in mind. They managed to get a few things sent up to the hotel room, which were a godsend, and I found Patrick's Christmas card to us when I was preparing for tonight. This is what it says. It says, in capital letters, "This is shit." I don't know where he got that language from. I blame his father. But we can't tell you how much it means to us that you're here. We hate that we are separated for Christmas, but we will make up for it when you're out. Lots of love. The story does have a slightly happy ending, however. The nice doctors who phoned us every day to ask how we were suddenly surprised us on the morning of Christmas Day. Amazingly, we were to be allowed out, having served our designated sentence. We staggered out, blinking, into the sunlight, and had one very precious day together before heading for the airport the next day. We didn't get our Thai suntans, but we did get a moment. It's Christmas 2024. Patrick and Dan's are heading to sunny Bangor for Christmas. They'll be with me in about 19 hours. Can't wait to see them. Nothing can go wrong this time, can it? All I want for Christmas are a few more moments this time. It's not too much to ask, is it?
Well done, Lisa. Thank you. Thank you so much. I hope it goes well for you tomorrow. Is Phil there? Where is he? Give us a wave, Phil. Hey, good man. I like the fact that you basically slept for 2 weeks. That sounds like heaven. Oh, the spotlights are back. Sorry, we seem to have a little electrical problem earlier. Somebody said it's my shirt that's done it. I did get quite a few compliments there during the break, and I got touched a lot. It's been a long time. Most people were very nice. Somebody said, "Oh, Elton John." I thought, okay, I can live with that. Somebody else said, "Gary Glitter." Yeah. And I think the biggest insult was someone said, "It suits you." It's okay. It's his first time telling a story at the Black Box. He told a story at Temple Moor Baths in the summer when we were there, which was a fantastic venue. So please, a big warm welcome for Terry McCartan.
All I want for Christmas. All I want for Christmas is February. I used to love Christmas. As a child, I would plead to decorate the house as soon as the Halloween stuff came down. Extension leads of fairy lights and paper chains would cover my bedroom at an environmentally concerning rate. Nothing says festive like a fire hazard. A normal, happy Christmas. Mum, Dad, my four siblings and I around the table, not having to worry about fighting because we were laughing and sharing stories of fights from years before. The year I opened one of my younger brother's presents and he bit me, so I slapped him and was told I had ruined Christmas, all before 8 a.m. The following year, he got a supersized remote-controlled race car. On its maiden journey, My sister and I stole the remote control off him and chased him with the car and subsequently ran him over with it twice. And my favourite, the Christmas Eve, the same brother found a dead bird outside and trying to throw it over the hedge into the field, lost his grip and sent the coal shovel smashing through the living room window. Every year, same stories with the odd new one here and there. Then Mommy got sick. Her last full day at home was the 15th of December. My sister was getting married during No Man's Week, the time between Christmas and New Year, where days mean nothing and you're 80% chocolate and alcohol. The girls went to Dublin and the boys went to Galway for the stag and hen do's, leaving Mum and Dad at home in the house with my youngest sister. A few hours after we left, Mum asked for an ambulance, which meant she'd probably been feeling real pain for about 6 hours and feeling like crap for a day or two before that. When the paramedics came to lift her, the driver said to Dad about how beautiful the house looked, and in fairness, it did. The tree was fat and tasteful with decorations spaced nicely. There had been an outright ban on coloured lights for years at this stage, and the warm white glow bounced delicately off ceramic snowmen and shepherds. We'd got a new garland, which slouched over the crackling fireplace like a pine needle boa. If you squinted, you'd swear the grate was about to tap its cigarette and say, "Grandma, it's me, Anastasia." The goal every year was to make the place look less McCartan and more McAllister, i.e. Home Alone. "So what good is any of it?" Dad said as they wheeled Mum into the back of the ambulance. Her next trip down the lane would be on Christmas Day when Dad drove her back to the hospital, and the time after that would be in a hearse 6 weeks later. The next few weeks were spent in and out of Craigavon Hospital visiting, hoping she'd get her strength back for her next round of chemo. A seamstress my sister had booked an appointment with was kind enough to bring some samples of Mother of the Bride outfits. She sat in the waiting room, making adjustments to the jacket so the syringe driver could hide on her inside pocket, a beautiful silver two-piece. When Mum tried it on, my sister smiled bravely, telling her how nice she looked, thinking to herself, she's going to be buried in that. They thanked the seamstress for her patience and hard work, and when my sister took her aside in the waiting room to pay, the woman shook her head and whispered, "I can't take any money for that." A shared thought that neither of them could say out loud. Christmas Day came. When Dad pulled over the cattle grid, the five children rushed to the window to make sure he wasn't alone. He wasn't. She was the only present we wanted that year, even if it was just on day release. She came in the back door, no shopping bags or presents, this time with two alien-looking boxes hanging in straps over her shoulder. The syringe drivers, plural. One on each side. If you don't know what a syringe driver is, count yourself lucky. It's not a hideous device. Clear, hard plastic encasing a battery-powered syringe that slowly releases morphine into the system, roughly the size of a VHS box. If you don't know what a VHS is, it's past your bedtime. The day flew in and we all ignored the Santa hat wearing cancerous elephant in the room. Granny came round for photos with Auntie Ange and we all smiled. I don't remember her being as grey on the day, but the photographs don't lie. She did look sick, tired, not the Mum of Christmas days past. 6 o'clock came and she headed back to the hospital, not before taking half the turkey, ham, stuffing and a fresh loaf with her for the nurses. We tell ourselves it's nice that her last day was at home for Christmas. We push aside the fact that she didn't see one Christmas with her grandchildren destroying the house. One Christmas at her daughter's houses for a change, or one Christmas on the other side of the world complaining about the heat and missing home. So we just tell ourselves it was nice. On the 28th of December, my sister got married. It was meant to be the following year, but knowing the way things were going, they'd pulled everything forward by 12 months in the hopes that Mum would get to be there. A spot became available in Newry Hospice, not for end-of-life care, but for respite, and she was advised to take it. She'd been given the date of the transfer, the 28th of December. Even if she wanted to, she wouldn't have had the strength to make it to the Mass, let alone the reception. But, determined to be there for my sister and the rest of us, she rang ahead and explained the situation to the hospice. They brought her in that morning, around the same time my sister was walking up the aisle. The nurses helped her change into her outfit, so syringe drivers discreetly out of sight in the lining of her jacket. Decorated the dining hall, and the immediate family and bridal party went straight to the hospice for photos. Again, a brave denial of, "Isn't this lovely?" took over. And it was lovely, for what it was. Looking back, it was the most unsettling thing to have such a key player of the day missing. Everything felt slanted. The photos were and are beautiful. The last photo of all seven of us. The last photo of Mum and Dad together. You wouldn't know she's sick, and you wouldn't know he is terrified. They just look like a happy couple in their Christmas best. In the chapel, it already felt strange, as we weren't in our normal seats. The McCartans sit in the back right corner, without fail, often outnumbering the rest of the parish 5-1. Mummy used to say, if this chapel was a ship, we would have it sitting lopsided. This time, we were up at the front, on the left, on the bride's side, with no mother of the bride. A month later, to the day, we were sitting back in those odd visible pews. This time Mum was there, wearing her silver jacket, horizontal, in a box. She was 57. That was 7 years ago. And every year, without fail, I lived the same cycle. The dread of putting up the Christmas decorations. How full the living room looks and how empty the house feels. Home. Alone. January comes and the countdown to the anniversary continues. I can tell you what I was doing every day for those last few weeks. Who visited? Who didn't? What we ate? Where and when we slept? The rate she went downhill by the day and hour. When she was sick for the last time. When she got into bed and didn't get out again. When she stopped talking, when she fell asleep and woke up for the last time to look around the room at each of us, saying nothing, but taking the time to see all of us standing around the bed, waiting. She looked at us for the last time and said nothing, but really looked at each of us individually, like a roll call. We were all there, the faintest smile of relief before going back to sleep. When her breathing changed, the death rattle, the final shutdown. And then it happened. 6:02 on the Sunday evening. This is the list in my head every Christmas. No gifts or groceries. Just this endless list of what happened. Where were you when? Do you remember how? Over and over and over. And then February comes. You can breathe for a while. I don't begrudge people enjoying Christmas. Very, very happy. Actually jealous of people who can still buzz over it. People who haven't had the lights stolen from them yet. I don't want to be a killjoy. But I do want to draw attention to how hard this time of year is for so many people. How the pressure of being happy can make you feel worse than you already do. Scrooge, Grinch. Misery guts. I hope I learn to love this time of year again. I really, genuinely do. But at the minute, all I want for Christmas is for it to be over.
Terry, I think you spoke for so many people in this room. Christmas can be a very, very tough time. I really genuinely hope you get your Christmas back someday. Apologies to any, and I know there's some poets in the room, but anyway. All I want for Christmas was tonight's story theme. The tales of Mariah were not to be seen. A dream said that I need a shirt from Versace, but here I am looking like old Liberace. Lorraine gifts and re-gifts the purse she despises. She also wants to see pets can win prizes. Lisa will soon see her son and his wife, 4 years now since COVID caused strife. Terry broke hearts with his tale of his mother, gorgeous in silver and missed like no other. Thank you. Oh my goodness, what a night, what a night. It's been fantastic. Fantastic stories, wonderful variety. Throw out a theme and people just come back with their interpretation of it, and I love it. A big thank you to you, the audience, for being so wonderfully warm and supportive and kind, to our storytellers, to me, to for just being, you're so much a part of the experience. It's not just the stories, it's not just the storytellers. The audience is very much a part of it. You laugh, you react, you cry. I noticed a lot of that tonight. So please, thank you so much for being just wonderful. I love you all. But our biggest thank you, I mean, I have to say thank you to everybody who's kept 10 by 9 going over 2024. It hasn't always been easy, but we always get there, and it's the highlight of my life. So, but our biggest thanks tonight goes to Paul Brady, Lorraine Thompson, Lisa Graham, Kieran McAlinden, Terry McCartan, Louise Nealon, Malachy O'Doherty, and Barney Gribben for their wonderful stories. Now, I've got a surprise for you. As I said, when Paul Brady told his story at the start, he will be returning. So this from me, I really mean this. Please have a lovely Christmas. I hope it's everything you hope for, and a happy new year, and we'll see you in 2025. Ooh. So here's Paul Brady to send us all home. Good night.
So he phones me and he says, listen, see you at the end of the night at Christmas. I says, aye. He says, bring your guitar down and do a song. He says, well, I don't play a fucking guitar. He says, I have a memory of you last year playing guitar. I said, it wasn't me. I don't know. I don't know how to play guitar. He says, right, okay. He says, would you be able to do a song for us? And I says, sure. And he says, is there some way to play a backing track? And he says, no. Says that costs money because it's copyrighted, and I've spent all my money on my new shirt. I says, right, I'll see if I can come up with something. I says, but it'll require, I says, too many people do you think will be coming to 10 by 9? He says, Christmas, probably going to be bunged. Right. I says, it'll require some crowd participation, but not much, because I know people get a bit weird. So I do it once and everybody can figure out what it is. And I'll have a super secret saying. Super secret saying is this. And when I do that, you do this. So, and it's dark as well, purposely, so that you can't see anybody sitting beside you. So listen carefully, it's very complex. La la la, la la la, la 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 la. You make that last note kind of wistful. So again, it's complex. Listen carefully. La la la, la la la, la 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 la. Look into the distance if you feel like it. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost ripping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. Folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe helps to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa is on his way. He's loading lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child will try to spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm sending out this simple phrase from kids from 1 to 92. Though it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas from the shirt and tan by nine. Merry Christmas from me and all of mine. Merry Christmas to you. La la la, la la la, la 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 la. Merry Christmas, everyone.